It's Tuesday, April 2nd. This is The Gateway. I'm Brian Moldane. The National Ag Organization, FFA, reached a record 1 million members last year, but the number of farms in the U.S. is shrinking, and becoming a farmer in today's world has become out of reach for many.
They might want there to be a path for them to be involved in agriculture, but we are up against enormous issues when it comes to accessing land.
We'll look at what this all means for the future of farming coming up in just a few minutes. The polls are open across Missouri for municipal elections. In the St. Louis area, voters will decide how the Metropolitan St. Louis Sewer District will cover the cost of environmental upgrades that are required by a 2012 consent decree. The utility is also asking voters to approve a new tax and fee that would help fix the region's stormwater system. Dozens of local governing bodies will choose their leaders. Many school, library, and fire protection districts are asking their residents to approve bond issues for upgrades and repairs to buildings and equipment. Polls close at 7 p.m. St. Louis business leaders today announced $350,000 in financial incentives aimed at attracting restaurants, retail stores, and other businesses to the city's downtown. As St. Louis Public Radio's Chad Davis reports, the grants are aimed at bolstering the downtown area.
The initiatives will provide up to $15,000 for pop-up retail shops opening in vacant storefronts and money for restaurants to build up outdoor seating and retail displays. The incentives also include up to $50,000 in grants for new businesses to make interior and exterior improvements and ways to help property owners rent space to retail shops. In a statement, Greater St. Louis, Inc. Chief Downtown Officer Kurt Weigel said, "Downtown St. Louis is a dynamic market, but it needs more retail activity." The announcement comes on the heels of other downtown investments. Last week, the Board of Aldermen approved more than $15 million in federal coronavirus relief to help renovate the America Center. I'm Chad Davis, St. Louis Public Radio.
Planned Parenthood's clinic in Fairview Heights is now offering sedation to patients who are getting an IUD inserted. The intrauterine birth control method is effective, but some patients have complained about severe pain when getting the T-shaped device inserted. Michael Belmonte is an OBGYN and expert on family planning at the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists. He says most patients get IUDs inserted at clinics that don't have the staff or equipment to fully sedate a patient.
These higher levels of sedation, it doesn't make sense for the vast majority of patients, nor does it make sense to the system on the grand scale. But for certain specific patients, it's an excellent option.
Belmonte says it's important for patients to choose what works best for them, and they should talk to doctors about what's available. Construction crews will start work on replacing the main sewer line in Cahokia Heights later this spring. St. Louis Public Radio's Will Bauer reports it's a key step in solving the decades-long sewer issues in the Metro East suburb.
Overall, the project will cost more than $5 million. Most of it will be covered by federal funding secured by U.S. Senator Dick Durbin of Illinois. The Army Corps of Engineers is helping coordinate construction. The sewer deposits the waste of about 90% of the city's households. Colonel Andy Panier of the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers says construction will have minimal impacts on Cahokia Heights residents.
This is the start of what we hope will continue to grow in momentum to help solve the problems of these communities that you face for decades.
Panier says they need to nail down a specific start date, but they plan to complete the project in a year by next spring. In Cahokia Heights, I'm Will Bauer, St. Louis Public Radio.
Fashion icon Carly Kloss was in the St. Louis region yesterday to gather signatures for a Missouri abortion legalization initiative. Kloss helped collect signatures in Creve Coeur to help the Missourians for Constitutional Freedom Initiative. The Webster Groves native told St. Louis Public Radio in an exclusive interview she's willing to help out to legalize the procedure up to fetal viability. Kloss says she's been involved in abortion rights advocacy for years, including providing financial and organizational support for small abortion clinics.
It's devastating to me, the reality of what is happening and how it has become so politicized, because to me, this is a conversation that belongs between an individual and their physician and an individual and their loved ones.
Backers of the abortion initiative petition need roughly 171,000 signatures by early May. The average age of farmers in the U.S. continues to rise, according to the U.S. Department of Agriculture's new Census of Ag. It's now nearly 60 years old. But there's also an increase in the number of new farmers. And student membership in the agriculture organization FFA is at an all-time high. Harvest Public Media contributor Peter Medlin reports on what these shifting populations say about the future of agriculture.
It's officially spring, and an unexpected snowstorm has hit the small village of Winnebago in northern Illinois. But the weather isn't stopping the line of tractors heading down a country road towards Winnebago High School. Today is the school's 49th annual Drive Your Tractor to School Day.
I'm a third generation. We always bring the biggest tractor that we have on the farm.
Maddie Palm-Graceffa is driving a giant 485-horsepower tractor that's typically tilling fields at her family's farm. For Maddie, like many Winnebago students, Tractor Day and farming are a family tradition. She's decided to pursue a career outside of agriculture, but other students, including junior Mason Heslop, see a future in farming.
I definitely like to be a farmer and like the rest, a lot of the family.
Student interest in agriculture is growing. The national group FFA, which used to be known as Future Farmers of America, announced a new record membership last year, almost 1 million students. And many states, like Illinois, have 100% affiliation, where every student taking an ag class can become a member. Christy Meyer is a communications manager for the national FFA organization. She says not all of their members want to be farmers. She says there are ag careers in everything from sales to drone technology, and the group isn't just for rural students either.
We're in 23 of the 25 largest cities. So we have a really successful chapter in Chicago. We have a newer chapter in Washington, D.C.
Some chapters grow food for their school and others focus on local waterway quality. According to the latest USDA Ag Census, the number of new and beginning farmers is increasing. Yet, of the top 10 states with the highest percentage of new farmers, none are in the Midwest. Mark Schleusener has a few ideas why. He's with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. For one, he says 75% of ag-dedicated land in the Midwest is covered by corn and soybeans. And it also has a bit to do with those big tractors the kids were driving to school.
Think of the value of your house. A mid-sized corn and soybean producer probably has several pieces of equipment, each of them valued at more than your house's value.
Those costs are a major barrier to entry for potential new farmers. Kate Coy is the senior beginning farmer associate at the Center for Rural Affairs. She develops ag curriculum and is a tenant farmer in Southwest Iowa.
You're seeing urban youth and rural youth who are interested. They might want there to be a path for them to be involved in agriculture, but we are up against enormous issues when it comes to accessing land.
In fact, finding affordable land is the top challenge for young farmers, according to the 2022 National Young Farmer Survey. The total number of farms continues to decline. That's due to consolidation, as the average farm size keeps increasing. And farmland across the Midwest is being sold for record highs. Last year in Missouri, a farm sold for close to $35,000 per acre. Coy says it's time to think outside of the traditional model of a family farm with just one farmer.
We could think of cooperative farms and collaborative farms. We could think of putting our land into a land trust and securing that land for generations so that it cannot be developed.
As farmers grow older, hundreds of millions of acres are expected to exchange hands over the next couple decades. And while there are many potential new farmers, the big question is whether they'll have the chance to tend the land. For Harvest Public Media, I'm Peter Medlin.
Harvest Public Media is a collaboration of public media newsrooms in the Midwest and Great Plains, including St. Louis Public Radio. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Brian Moline.